guys. On three. One, two, three, one.
Welcome to This Week in Lions Baseball, the official baseball podcast of LMU Athletics. I'm your host, Jonathan Grace, and each week I'll be joined by LMU Baseball head coach Nathan Choate and members of the team to take you behind the scenes with the LMU Baseball program as we break down the big wins, the season's highs and lows, and give you exclusive access to all things LMU Baseball. Today I'm joined, as always, by LMU Baseball head coach Nathan Choate. Coach, great to have you on the show.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Also on the show this week, LMU junior pitcher, the right-hander, and your WCC pitcher of the week, Owen Hackman. Owen, it's great to have you with us on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, coach, as we've grown accustomed to doing, I'd just like to start off with your opening thoughts on what was a very busy week for you guys. After playing USC, you went up to Portland, played three tough games on the road, came away with a clean sweep, and then came home and had two tough games against UNLV. First of all, just your impressions on the Portland series.
Yeah, the Portland series I was thrilled with. We had a great game on Friday after it got pushed back due to weather. Diego gave us a great start. We played great defense. That was a great game. And then to sweep both games of the doubleheader on Saturday and to sweep the series, really pleased with how we pitched, how we played defense, and how we competed all weekend long. It was a really, really good weekend against a good Portland team. They're good. So,
yeah, you mentioned in the previous episode that there was a high chance that the games and the schedule could be a little bit reshuffled. We ended up seeing that. But again, you guys had seen this before this season already. It wasn't the first time you'd had to play a doubleheader. Do you think that prepared you a little bit better to face the very, very busy Saturday?
Yeah, you know, I think our guys have gone through some things like that earlier in the year when we were traveling on the road and had to kind of just get adjusted to playing whenever we were told we were going to play. And so I do think that prepared us a little bit, and I thought we handled it well.
And you didn't have a ton of time to rest, obviously, Sunday, travel day, and then Monday, Tuesday against UNLV. And those games were tough ones. Didn't exactly go how you had hoped. It was two losses to UNLV at home. Just talk me through those two games.
Yeah, you know, we didn't play particularly well. You know, we didn't play as good defensively as we had been playing, and we didn't pitch as well as we're capable of. Offensively, you know, we had some opportunities to score. And so in all three phases, we just didn't play as good as we had been previous. Unfortunately, that happens. That's baseball. You know, it's a very simple game in concept, but it's a very difficult game to play. It challenges you both physically and mentally because it's a game built on failure. And we didn't play particularly well, and need to have a good day of practice on Thursday and get ready for the weekend. But yeah, we didn't play great.
Well, Owen, I'll come to you because you played a lot in this Portland series, and it was really, really fun to watch. That Saturday was a busy one for you, my friend. Nine straight innings you went the whole game. The only pitcher LMU put out there. Just talk me through that contest on Saturday and what it's like to pitch a full nine innings.
You know, when obviously when you're starting off in the bullpen warming up, you don't really think about going nine innings. And for me, I just went inning by inning. Not really thinking about anything ahead, just, you know, taking it one inning at a time, pitch by pitch. And yeah, just kind of being locked in that way, not getting ahead of myself. So just staying in the moment and competing.
I kind of want to expand on that. What does that mean for you to stay present, stay in the moment, and keep competing? Because you were locked in for the whole nine innings. And, you know, what does it take to go out there and put a complete game like that together? You know, did you know at the beginning that you were going to go out and do all nine?
No, I started off and, got a pretty quick first inning and, kind of just built off, each, previous inning. The defense, it's easy to, you know, get in a rhythm when you have exceptional defense. I think we played the entire weekend, but on Saturday when I threw in particular, you know, the defense was just, phenomenal, behind me. And so, you know, having that peace of mind, makes it a lot easier to just go out there and compete. And so that was for me, how I was just able, you know, stay in it all nine innings.
What was it about the defense that gave you so much confidence to go out there and keep pitching the way you were?
I mean, from the get-go, I got a lot of fly balls. The outfielders did a phenomenal job, tracking down the balls. Particularly in the infield, though, you know, I thought Benny made a couple really good plays, a couple really close plays. Same with Cole. And, you know, it was just awesome to see. And as a pitcher, you know, when you have your defense out there making some really, really tough and exciting plays, it kind of gets you fired up and allows you to, you know, just continue going at it.
And coach, from your perspective as well, Owen's performance on that Saturday, in that one of those Saturday games, was pretty dominant. It has to be said. Obviously, pitching the entire time for you guys, just 94 pitches he threw. He was really efficient all the way from start to finish.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of complete games anymore, both professionally and college baseball. I think a lot of it is because it's so geared up to strikeouts. They were super aggressive against Owen. He throws a lot of strikes. He's got good stuff. He's got a really good breaking ball. So it looked to me like their plan was to not get to two strikes. So they were going to be aggressive early in the count, which can be a great thing for a pitcher if you're locating, right? And you can use that aggressiveness against them. And I thought that's what he did, was he was making quality pitches early in counts and getting through some quick innings. So it kept the pitch count down. I think he was in the six, and he was like 57 pitches or something. And it's been a while since I've had a pitcher that's had a pitch count that low. That's when I was thinking he had a chance to kind of go complete game at that point, just because the pitch count was so low. And so, like I said, in professional baseball and a lot of times in college now, because everybody's trying to strike everybody out from pitch one, the pitch counts get elevated pretty quickly. So it's rare. It's becoming more and more rare to see a complete game in both college and professionally.
As a coach, how do you instruct pitchers that are going out to do longer stints like that to balance between being aggressive and trying to set the pace early, throw as many strikes as you can, but also not getting ahead of yourself and being a little bit patient as well?
Yeah, I mean, you don't really know. I think Owen is right. You know, you just try to take a pitch at a time. You can't really dictate anything other than the pitch that you're making at the current time. And so you don't even really think about going a complete game or anything when you're warming up. You're going out there and you're trying to give us a good quality start to get us in the flow of the game. And then you just go as long as you can and try to give us an opportunity to win. I think that's what he's done. And I think all of our pitchers on the weekends have done. But to go, hey, I'm going complete game, I don't think that really crosses guys' mind when they're warming up.
When did it cross your mind to have him stay in for the whole game and have him just see it through for all nine innings?
Yeah, when he was in like the fifth or sixth, I thought he had a shot to go complete game. Just like I said, because his pitch count was so low and it was pretty stress-free situations that he was pitching in. You know, sometimes a guy's pitch count, like Zach Kirby earlier in the game, his pitch count, he wanted to go back out there for another inning, but he had a couple guys on where he had to fight through some jams. And so even though his pitch count wasn't quite as high, those are pretty stressful innings when there's runners in scoring position and you're having to really bear down and make pitches. Owen didn't really have that. You know, the first five innings, he kind of cruised and his pitch count was relatively low and he wasn't in a lot of high stress situations. So that was kind of what in my mind I was thinking, oh, he's got a chance to finish this thing off if it continues the way it's going.
Coach, obviously you are a bit of a pitching specialist yourself. How is it mentally to go out there and pitch a complete game, all nine innings? How tough is that from a mental standpoint?
Yeah, I think you got to stay on it. You got to be super focused. You know, and I think, like I said, it's a rare thing now in today's baseball, just because all the specialists and setup guys and closers and all of those things. So, you know, when a guy gets in a groove like that and he's locked in mentally and he's attacking and we're playing a really good defense behind him, at that point, really, I try not to screw it up and I try to get out of the way. I mean, going into the ninth inning, we had Merrick warming up, but I thought that Owen had earned the right to start that ninth inning. That's just kind of the way I go about it, is he had thrown so good that, nothing against Merrick because we have a ton of confidence in him, but I thought Owen earned the right to go out in that ninth inning and try to finish it out. So.
And Owen, coming into that ninth inning, what was your mindset? Were you thinking about trying to put the complete game together, or were you just taking it one pitch at a time?
I was just taking it one pitch at a time. You know, I came in after the eighth inning and I was sitting on the bench. And, you know, I was kind of, I didn't know if I was going to go back out or didn't. I don't worry about pitch count when I'm throwing. I just keep going until, you know, Choder tells me that, you know, I'm done. And so when he came over to me and it was like, you want it? And I was like, yeah, I want it. And that fired me up, you know, for him to have the confidence in me to go back out there. You know, it's tough when you go through the lineup three, four, five times even, you know, to continue to stay on it and, you know, mix stuff up.
What was that dialogue between you and Coach Choate like throughout the game, as you realized that A, you had started to sink into your rhythm, and B, that you might have had these guys pretty well figured out and you don't exactly want to mess with a good thing?
You know, he kind of just let me do my thing. I came up to him a couple times, you know, told him, you know, some pitches that I thought were, you know, maybe not where I wanted, or some pitches, you know, for example, the double in the second or third inning, I think, you know, it was just a bad pitch on my part. I didn't execute. And, you know, I kind of just talked to him about that. And for the most part, he kind of, you know, lets you do your thing when you're in a groove and a rhythm, as he said, he's not trying to mess you up. And so, yeah, once you're in that rhythm, he kind of, leaves you and lets you do your thing, unless you go up to him and ask for anything, of course. But yeah.
As a pitcher, how do you get to that point in your career as a pitcher where you can go a complete game, and even if you give up a hit or give up a throw a pitch that you're not necessarily happy with, you can quickly readjust, reevaluate, and continue to execute, especially for a long game?
For me in particular, I think that being a closer last year had a profound effect on, you know, kind of my mentality of being able to perform in the pressure situations. For example, you couldn't really get into a rhythm as a closer, but once you get out of your rhythm as a starter, you know, it's not like you haven't seen it before, or haven't done it before. And so it's really easy to get back into that rhythm and kind of maintain your composure when you're out there.
And coach, how do you think that's helped Owen's game from going from last year being a closer to now starting games? I mean, you look at the amount of innings he's pitched, his appearances so far in just his seven appearances, he's pitched almost as many innings already at this point in the season than he pitched the entirety of last year in his 21 appearances. You know, how do you think his game has changed and being a closer has helped him in his role this season?
I think baseball players in general get a bad rap for being superstitious. I like to use the term routine oriented as a baseball player. And so being a closer, you don't necessarily get to have a set routine. Some of those starters, like the starting pitchers, I mean, they are so detailed in what they want to do, and they have to have this for breakfast and they have to do this at a certain time. When you're a closer, you don't necessarily have that. You can't do that. You just kind of got to adjust on the fly a little bit more. So I think that's been huge for Owen, who is very routine oriented, as I'd like to say. And so I think he had to make some adjustments last year where he didn't get to do a certain routine and he just got thrown into the mix and he had to figure it out on the fly. I think that's helped him quite a bit now as a starter, realizing that even though something may not go as planned, he's got to adjust on the fly right then and just continue to compete with what he's got at the current time.
And Owen, can you share with us what some of those routines are that you like to go through during a game, before a game?
I obviously have my specific stretching routine, you know, kind of pre-throw routine I do. And it's longer this year than it was last year, just because I'm a starter, I have more time. But, you know, for me, I try to think as little as possible. And so, you know, besides the stretching and, you know, going through my throwing routine, there's nothing I'd say that I do in particular before a start. I kind of just like to keep it simple, try to, you know, take everything out of the equation and just, you know, pitch. And so for me, that helps me, you know, kind of keep my mind clear and allows me to stay locked in and focus on being present.
Well, gentlemen, let's switch gears and talk about those two UNLV games, Monday and Tuesday. Kind of an interesting pairing. You're not used to seeing necessarily in a full season, at least. You know, you see maybe one or two midweek games, but rarely are they put together at the beginning of the week. First of all, was that a factor in maybe the outcome of the games? Just the fact that it was so many games in a row and bunched together at the beginning of the week?
Not at all. That's an excuse. We didn't play well. They were trying. They're a good team. We didn't play well. They beat us those two games. That's baseball. But no, the schedule didn't have anything to do with it. We didn't make some plays. And when we had a chance to make some plays and some pitches and get some swings, and they did. And tip your cap that they beat us on Monday, Tuesday. So,
what are some of the big takeaways from your side, coach, that you can learn from and adjust in this week of practice before taking on Gonzaga?
Yeah, you know, as a program, we're continuing to grow and evolve, and it's great when you have a good weekend, and this game is so humbling, and it's one of the lessons that I want our players to learn is how humbling this game can be, because it's a difficult game. You know, I hear a lot of people argue about the bat flips in today's game and the celebrations and all that stuff, and I personally don't have a problem with any of that stuff, other than the fact of the reason that I believe you shouldn't do it is because as high as you feel at the current time and you think you're on top of the world, eventually you're going to get humbled by the game because it's a hard game and you're going to fail. And so I think just striving to be as level-headed as you can in your preparation and in your work, that is what we're striving for. And I thought our guys approached the game the right way. We just didn't play well. But I think it's great to be humbled, not only in baseball, but it's great to be humbled in life. You know, we come home and everyone's telling you, hey, you're in first place and all of these great things. And then you get humbled on Monday and Tuesday. I think that's great, not only for our baseball team. It's great for us as people and for as young men. I don't like losing, but I do think it's good to get humbled in life.
Well, it leads perfectly into my next question. I was going to ask, even though it's never pleasant, and of course, I'm sure as a coach and Owen as a player, you'd like to see the season and the games go as smoothly as possible and as many W's in the scorebook as you can. But how important is it to be humbled maybe once or twice a season to learn those lessons, grow not only as a player, but maybe as a character building moment as well? How significant is it to you, coach, to have those little moments throughout a season?
Yeah, I mean, it's not fun. Nobody likes losing, especially when you get your butt kicked. But, you know, I've been doing this long enough that I've been humbled over the years, and I know how this thing works out, right? And you just got to get up off the mat when you lose and you don't play well, and you just get up and you come back to work the next day and you keep working hard and you just keep your head down and just keep working hard. And that's the only way to do it. And so we have a huge series this weekend. You know, we took the day off today, right? I think sometimes it's okay to get away from baseball. You know, we've been playing a lot of baseball. Our guys, you got to remember that they're student athletes. They got, exams coming up and they got papers to do. And so sometimes it's okay to just to step away from baseball, take a breather, keep it in perspective, get away from each other for just a day, right? And then come back tomorrow and get back on the field and get ready to go. And so, like I said, I don't like losing. I'm not okay with losing. But I do think the experience of being humbled in life is a very, very good thing for anybody to go through. So,
and Owen, how about for you? I want to ask you a similar question. You know, what does it mean to have these little moments throughout a season, even though it's not pleasant? What can you take from them, and how important is it to be humbled every once in a while during a season?
I think it's extremely important. For example, when I threw against Oklahoma State, you know, I didn't do as well as I would have liked. I didn't, you know, set the tone, give us a good chance to win. And, you know, for me, that kind of made me angry, you know. Like, that's not happening again. And so I think that it allows you to move forward and, you know, kind of build off of that, the anger and the frustration that you had, and kind of put it in a place that's, you know, beneficial and that's, you know, continuing to work on what you might have not done well in that particular starter game, and, you know, changing that mentality and being able to come back and not let it affect your next performance.
And coach, back to you. I want to ask just a little bit more about offense. You know, throughout the season, what are some of the ways going forward, especially learning from the Monday, Tuesday losses, that you can start to convert more runs from guys on base? You know, not only generating the offense, but then going forward to bring those guys around full circle and actually create scoring opportunities and put more runs on the board.
You know, we've had opportunities to score at times, and we just haven't done a great job of situationally hitting, you know, and so it's not for a lack of effort. Guys are trying up there, right? I think trying to simplify it, right, and not put so much pressure on yourself and trying to do too much. I think our best version of our offense is when we're just passing it on to the next guy and not trying to do too much, and nobody's trying to be the hero. They're just trying to find a way to get on base and pass it to the next guy, because it takes some of the pressure off you when you go about it like that. When you're up there trying to go, hey, I have to hit a double, or I want to hit a double, I want to be the guy that breaks it open right here. That in itself creates some pressure. And so our offense, as our team is continuing to evolve, you know, and we're learning to be more consistent. And I think our guys know and realize the best version of ourselves offensively is to be that tough offensive player where when you get to two strikes, you fight, you scratch, you claw, you find a way on base. If there's a runner at third and less than two outs and we need to lay down a safety squeeze or a squeeze, we can do that. Hit and run, all the things that you could do team offensively besides just getting a hit, right? There's other ways to get on base other than just getting a hit. And there's other ways to score than just getting a hit. I've been really pleased the last probably six or seven games on our balls in dirt, you know, where the pitcher on the other team will throw a break ball or change up in the dirt. That has been a point of emphasis. We were not great the first month and a half in the season, but been really pleased with that offensively the last couple of weeks, especially seven and eight games. So that's an area that we're continuing to improve on. And so I think just having that identity of nobody has to be the hero, just pass it on to the next guy.
Are there any other areas in particular you feel that you can really take and draw from the two UNLV games to move forward and A, implement against Gonzaga, but B, carry with you through the rest of the season?
Yeah, I think just the importance of understanding our overall identity as a team. You know, when we throw quality strikes and play really good defense, it gives our offense a chance to be the best version of themselves and to execute offensively and pass it to the next guy. You know, there were some plays. You know, I talk about defense a lot, and it's not about not making errors. It's about making plays. There were some plays this week, Monday and Tuesday, that I thought we could have made defensively, and I think we didn't make those plays. And so for the guys that didn't make those plays, I think they'll use that as motivation to get better at those plays when we do it in practice. I'll never forget, I think it was last year, Diego Baquero was playing third base when we were playing at UCLA. And we had a lead, and there was a pop-up over to third base in foul territory. And he went up, and he'll tell you the story because he laughs about it now because I screamed at him. But he goes up with one hand to catch the ball in foul territory, and he drops it kind of nonchalant, just goes through the motions, and he dropped it. And if you watch Diego Baquero to this day, when he gets a pop-up in the infield, watch him. He'll catch it with two hands every time. And on the way in, we'll look at each other and make eye contact, and I'll just give him a smile. And it'll never happen again. I'm just telling you, he might drop a ball, but it's not going to be with one hand where he's just Cadillacing it. Like, watch him catch a pop-up on the infield. And so those are some of the takeaways with some of the young guys, I think, that maybe got an opportunity to play the last couple of days, that maybe if there wasn't a play that they felt they should have made, I think they'll use that for motivation. Maybe fundamentally they weren't in the right spot or went about it the way that they know they can. So I think that individually they can take something away from that and continue to improve in some skill set areas. And same thing on the mound. You know, Chaz McRoberts threw really well. I was pleased with his start yesterday. You know, he's going to be really good. The third inning, he had two strikes on three of the guys, 0-2, 1-2, where he just left some pitches up a little bit, and they got a base hit with two strikes. He's going to learn as he gets older to put guys away when he has count leverage. So I think, you know, there's no substitute for experience. Those guys getting that experience like that, I think they'll be able to learn from it and move on from there.
Well, gentlemen, let's move into kind of talking a little bit more about the Gonzaga game and Cal State Fullerton after that. And Owen, I'll start with you. Coming into the series against Gonzaga, it's at home for three games. Do you go into this as an athlete, as a pitcher, with any sense of a chip on your shoulder of, hey, I want to get these guys and prove that, you know, even though we didn't play our best against UNLV, what we saw in Portland, what the team has been capable of throughout the season, we want to demonstrate that against these guys from Spokane?
Yes, of course. I think Gonzaga, at least while I've been here, has always been the team, you know, that people give a lot of respect to. And, you know, it's kind of the team that, like, you really want to, in particular, go out and just beat. And so, you know, for me, going into this weekend and as a team, you know, we just got to play it like it's any other series, you know, not try to get ahead of ourselves or try to make it more complicated than it is. Of course, we really want to beat these guys, but I think that we just need to continue to play our style of baseball and keep it simple. You know, as Coach said in our offensive approach, you know, just handed it off to the next guy, and on the mound, just throwing a lot of strikes and attacking guys. And so I think if we do that, we're gonna be successful this weekend.
And Coach, same question to you: is the team coming in with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, something to prove against Gonzaga?
Yeah, I think any weekend we have a chip on our shoulder. But yeah, you know, Gonzaga got a lot of respect for them. They've kind of run the conference for the last couple of years. They're going to have a chip on their shoulder, right? They played a really good non-conference schedule. They're well coached. I think it's going to be a great weekend of baseball. I'm sure, you know, they're looking at us thinking, hey, you know, are we for real? Or you know, they're going to come after us and want to compete, and we're going to obviously want to do the same thing. And so I have a lot of respect for their program. But once again, we're playing against the game. We're not playing against the opponent. If we play good quality baseball, I'll take our team against anybody in the country. So if we play good baseball, if we don't play good baseball, then you know, we will lose to anybody, and especially a good Gonzaga team. So,
well, the Lions have three games at home Friday, Saturday, Sunday this weekend against the Bulldogs, who will come down to Page Stadium, and then LMU will have a single Tuesday midweek game against Cal State Fullerton, scheduled to play Cal State Fullerton early in the year. That game was postponed, so finally they'll get to face them, but it'll be on the road. Four games this week instead of five, so not exactly a light load, but back to your typical regularly scheduled programming, if you will. Well, gentlemen, I really appreciate your time on the show today. Coach, it's always great to chat with you every week.
Thanks, Jonathan. Appreciate it, man. Go Lions.
Go Lions. And Owen, it was great to have you on the show as well.
Thank you for having me, Jonathan.
Well, that's it for us this week on the show. You can listen to all the episodes of the podcast throughout the season on lmulions.com/podcasts and on Apple Music to stay up to date with everything that's happening in the program. As we mentioned in the preview, LMU will have three home games against the Bulldogs before taking it on the road to play a rescheduled game against Cal State Fullerton. And we'll have it all for you to break down right here on next week's episode. But for now, you're all caught up on everything that's happening this week in Lions baseball.